Hey everyone, this is Dr. William Clark, your host of the Dr. William Clark Podcast. Glad to be with you all for another episode. This is the podcast for nonprofit leaders, and we talk about nonprofit leadership strategy and fundraising. Super excited to be with you today. Glad to have you part of the show today. And today, we're going to be talking about how to build programs that are of interest to funders. And quite frankly, I want to even dig deeper into building a program that generates support. So how do you do that? How do you position your program that generates support from funders and stakeholders, investors and supporters and people who care about the same things you care about? So we're going to dig into this today. Before we jump into our topic today, I'm going to invite you to visit me at drwilliampclark.com. Again, that's drwilliampclark.com. That is the site we've built for you where you can access all types of cool information for your nonprofit. But specifically, we help nonprofits think through their fundraising approaches and strategies so that they can support their worthy missions. And if you want to be a part of that support network and that family we are building, I'm going to encourage you to visit me at drwilliampclark.com, schedule a consultation, and register for our latest course, Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. Love to see you as a part of that next cohort. Again, visit us at drwilliampclark.com. Now, let's go back to this. How do we build a program that generates support? And this may be of interest to you because you know that you have something that is of interest and that is specifically designed for the community that you're serving and is designed for the individuals that you care deeply about, but you know that there needs to be support for the organizations, particularly financial support, right? And we want to make sure that we are addressing this for you and that we are responding to this for you. So I want to talk a little bit about this and talk about what this looks like for the average program. So I want to begin here with this idea that if you're going to generate support, you got to have a vision. So what is the vision for the organization? This is separate from the typical thing you may be thinking about, the vision statement that goes on your website, that goes in your grant application. That's great. Those statements are cute. But let's kind of get down to the nitty gritty. When we talk about the vision, we're talking about this future state of the organization and the program that will serve the organization that connects everything the organization does specifically for the customer. What's the future state of the organization? What's the future state of the program? And what's the future state of the customer? All of this plays a part in this vision. Your ability to communicate this future state is going to be critical for your ability to generate support, because your support that you're trying to put into place, that you're trying to facilitate, is based upon your ability to articulate this clear, compelling, important message. Funders, supporters, stakeholders, investors, sponsors, and customers are looking to you for that vision. Don't forget your staff. They're looking at you for vision, for direction, because they want to know, look, we know that you're building something special, and we know that the community is in need of this very special thing. The problem is we're not sure how we're going to get there. We're not sure where we're going. We're not sure what this future state looks like. So as the leader, as the person who is chief influencer, you're the chief influencer officer within your organization, you're going to have to be well articulated in this vision. What is this vision? You got to articulate it frequently and consistently. Now, this vision should not be anything that is like a cliche, or shouldn't be kind of this cute statement, because typically cute statements can be recited, but they're not necessarily believed, and they're not necessarily developing the connection you want, right? But it should be simple, and it should clearly articulate this big picture view of the world that you see. So in a previous episode, one of the things I talked about was the work I did in economic development. And we talked about a part of the vision, if not the vision, was to explore how to create opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses, right? Now, that may not play well on a website as a vision statement, in air quotes, for the organization or for people looking for services and support. But when we have conversations, or when we had conversations with minority and women-owned businesses, when we talked about this playing field that we're looking to open up for them, where their services can be made available to the public and have the right connections to projects that can really propel their company. It's about this simple vision, creating opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses. What does that look like? Well, we're going to do this, this, and this so that the opportunities are there, that they're plenteous, and that you as a minority and women-owned business can have pursue these opportunities full force with the expectation that you will grow your business organically and the right way. But it begins with this vision, this future state that we are going to explore these opportunities, create these opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses. Now, your vision doesn't have to be super complex. It doesn't have to sound deep. It doesn't have to be poetic. It may end up being that way, but it needs to be super simple. And for minority and women-owned businesses, when we were doing that particular work, for them, if you listen to them, they were our customer, one of several customers, but they were one of our customers, and you listen to them, they would tell you, yeah, it's about opportunity. I just want the opportunity to bid and to compete, to learn things I don't know, right? So there are things about bidding that I'm not aware of. Maybe I'm overbidding, underbidding, because my underbid may indicate my inability to know the true cost of doing business. Maybe I'm overbidding and it's turning off potential project owners. And how do I find that sweet spot that's profitable for the business, that sets us up for sustainability, and it generates support and gets us in a room where we can actually close the deal for a project? So when we talk about opportunity, we cannot make things happen, but we can create a pathway for minority women-owned businesses to learn, to grow, to build, become sustainable, and powerhouses in the marketplace where they can now compete with their core products and services. And with your program, with your nonprofit services, what's the vision that you have for your customer, for the work, that's going to draw people in and say, you know what, I can dig it, I can get with that, and I want to support it, whether it's through financial resources, which is important, right? You need financial resources, or customers showing up, or sponsors buying into this work. The next thing you want to think about is building a program that supports this vision, right? So what's the vision that you're trying to accomplish here? What's the vision you're trying to make happen here? And how does it show up through the form of a program? So a program doesn't have to be kind of this stuck place where you're just doing A, B, and C, but it does represent a systematic approach of helping your target customer go from point A to point B to point C with a very specific outcome. The reason you want to think about a program or a systematic approach is because it allows you to scale the services you can provide to a greater amount of people. I have come across a number of folks who've joined our coaching programs over the years who talk about the anecdotal data or experiences that they've had with a family, a youth, a person. Someone coming out of prison, a survivor of domestic violence. It's all about the one story, right? And that one story is awesome. But if what you've done for that person or that family is awesome, here's the million-dollar question, literally a million-dollar question. How do you scale that? How do you duplicate that? How do you systematize that so that you can serve more families, more people, more members of the community at a greater scale? That's called scaling your services. And so the scaling process requires a systematic approach that works for a large number of people, not everybody, but a large number of people. And so if your system can work for 60 to 80% of your typical audience, that means that you can serve a large swath of people, have a greater systematic and communal impact. And that is very attractive to funders, stakeholders, supporters, staff, etc. All of that is critical. So you got to figure out how to build a systematic process to serve the masses or to scale your program. Now, this can be a little bit scary, but I want to kind of help you here with this. And this goes back to where your starting point is. What's the starting point of your program? You may be starting out serving one youth one-on-one at a time. That's great. Don't ignore small beginnings, because small beginnings convert to scalable programs and services. But I want you to think about this. As you're mentoring your young person over the next 6 to 8 weeks, as you're working with that family to overcome their homelessness over the next 6 to 8 weeks, as you're working with that veteran, as you're working with that returning citizen, as you're working with that domestic violence survivor, I want you to do something over the next 6 to 8 weeks. I want you to continue to do the great work that you're doing, but I want you to document what you do every day to help that person get from point A, which is their broken place, their hurt place, their place where they're not, where they're at a place where it's not ideal for them and their family. And I want you to document what you've done every single day, every step of the way till the successful result. Okay, whatever that result is, a job placement, economic stability, self-sufficiency, safety, placement in the shelter system, grades improvement, whatever the outcome is, okay? And hopefully you've identified two, possibly three outcomes that were pretty good for that individual. Document that, create a step-by-step process of what you've done, and then I want you to consider this. I want you to go back, and I want you to serve another individual, another family, just one. And I want you to follow your documented process. And I want you to follow your process step by step by step. Now, if you realize that you're following your process and you forgot to write something down, add it to the process. Maybe you're going through the process and you've learned or discovered a new nuance or a new element to add to the work to make it more inclusive, more available, more expanded for a different type of person with similar issues and challenges. Add it as a sub bullet to your current plan. Do that process repeatedly, repeat it, and go through a 12-month cycle, right? If you can really make that time for that and repeat it. But what you're doing is you're documenting your process, your system, your program, and you're systematically improving it over time. It's getting better, right? It's getting more refined. It's getting improved, and you're serving people real time. If you define your service over 4 to 6, 4 week to 6, 8 week period, you can serve X number of people within a 12-month cycle, which is similar to what a full program year looks like. And when you look at how many people you served over 12 months utilizing your program, your system, your way of doing business, and you go back at the end of the 12 months and look at all those steps and processes you went through, my friend, you now have a program. Now, you can truncate all this and do it a lot sooner if you had the time and the resources to make it happen. But for the average person who is working a job and running a program and building this vision, this nonprofit, this is a slower approach, but a more manageable approach and a more realistic approach. And this is critical because now you've built a program. And now you can have something to stand on, because you not only have a written program and process, you also have outcomes, people you've served who has benefited from what you've done. This is so important. This changes the game. And you can now walk through the process of building a program that you can begin selling to partners and funders and sponsors to generate financial support so you can scale it and serve more people. And watch this, you can start training team members, partners, staff to execute your program to serve your community. And you can serve multiple people, multiple families, multiple segments of the community while you're still building a full-fledged nonprofit organization. The system, the program, the process, it's all connected to the vision here. It's all connected to where you're trying to take the organization, where you're trying to take the program, where you're trying to take the community, because it matters. It matters at the end of the day. Now, before I give you the last one, I want to invite you to visit me at drwilliampclark.com. Again, it's drwilliampclark.com. If any of this information is helpful to you, if you're connecting with it, if you're looking to have, if you're looking to have a deeper conversation with me and you need support and help along this journey, call me, schedule a consultation, join one of my coaching programs, whether it's one-on-one coaching or our group coaching program, Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. Join the conversation. We're here to help. We're here to be a part of your journey. We're glad to be a part of your journey. Go to drwilliampclark.com. So again, we've talked about you want to build a program. You got to have a vision. Tell us where you're going. You want to build, you want to have generate support, build a program, build a system, build a way of doing this business. And lastly, as I move this over here, you now can start fundraising. This is where I left off. This is what I talked about too, right? So you want to be able to fundraise now off of this. This is how you start to generate support, because funders want to know what you've done, how you've done it, and then how can you scale? How can you do more? What's the vision? What's the plan for the next 12 months in exchange for our dollars? Starting out, you want to start out with small community foundations, $1,000 here, $5,000 here, $10,000 here. Repeat the process. Repeat the cycle. Start to get sponsors to pay for specific components of the program, material, supplies, transportation, etc. Once you start doing this, you'll start to notice that these $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 grants start to add up. Sponsor dollars start to add up. And let me give you another trick of the trade. You might not qualify for major money, right? So six-figure money. You might not qualify for mid-tier money. That's the $30,000 to $50,000 range because you're new and you need to have history, right? All that is a process. You will get there. But if you want to build systematically in these early stages, look at the local community foundations, look at sponsors, and then look at partners, all right? Partners are not, I want to just be specific here. It's not organizations or friends who just started out with you, because that's not going to make a difference. That's not going to move the needle financially forward. I want you to start looking at organizations who are much, much, much bigger than you, who are doing similar work. Maybe not exactly, but similar work, who have a reputation, who's been doing it for a long time. Everybody knows them. You probably know them. You're thinking of them right now. And start to look at their various program offerings and explore how you might be able to partner with them to add a nuance to what they do, flavor to what they do. And the flavor you're adding is just a piece, not all, a piece of what you've designed and built. So you want to contribute to their work. So you want to approach a senior member of their leadership team, whether it's a CEO or a chief program officer, someone who has the ability to make decisions, and ask them to have a meeting to talk about ways you can support their program with the goal of them writing you into their next grant. Now, this organization may be the one that can qualify for the six-figure grants, the major grants, local foundation, city, state, federal, and they may want to add a little creativity to what they do. And because of what you do and because of the work you've done and what you've built, you may be able to add that. Again, not all, just a piece of what you built. And that partnership can get you into a major grant as a subcontractor, and you can generate a lot more financial support through that partnership than you would on your own. This can be huge. Out of a $100,000 grant, they may write you in for $20,000 just to teach a couple of courses, right? And that $20,000 covers your material, supplies, your staff, your program content. And you don't teach the whole year. You're just teaching in segments and pieces. $20,000. Think about this. $20,000. That's more than you can get on your own in these early stages. And if you have multiple partnerships across multiple organizations doing the same thing, now look at this. You have your small community foundations directly supporting you, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 here. You have sponsors supporting you, and now you have partnerships supporting you. That stuff adds up really, 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 really quick and can really put you in a position and accelerate the growth of your organization and your program. But again, it all begins with this vision. What do you see as an end result? What's the program or system you're building to scale and serve more people? And then it will lead to your ability to fundraise. I want to invite you again, if any of this was helpful, if any of this connected with you, visit me at drwilliampclark.com. Again, drwilliampclark.com. I'm inviting you to join me. Visit my website, schedule a consultation, take a course, take our course, Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. It's going to go into depth about this particular topic and ways to build programs that's attractive to partners and funders and supporters and investors, et cetera. Maybe you want to just jump into one-on-one coaching with me. We're here for that. It all starts by visiting drwilliamplclark.com. Again, it's drwilliamplclark.com. So thankful that you hung out with us today. Hope that you found this helpful. We look forward to seeing you guys next time. See everybody.